Usually when we tell somebody they're full of it, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. But today we want to talk about what it means to be full of it. Are you full of it? Full of what? And so I want to share with you something that God laid in my heart. And trust me, this one is really, really heavy for me. Where God, this message speaks to me very hard. It speaks to all of us, if we're honest and we think about it. So what happens when you spill something? Think about it for a minute. Sometimes you don't know what's in a container until it spills. And we are like that. It's hard for anybody to know what's inside of our hearts, what we're full of, what's inside of us. But you hit a bump on the road, and boom, it comes out. It's hard to keep it in. It's hard not to spill it. I'll never forget, and I think I've shared this story with you guys at one time or another, but my wife and I were on a trip, and we were with a group of students in Italy and in Rome, and that day had been a hard day. Like, we had walked miles, and it was super, super hot. And we all get to the hotel. There's like 30 or 40 students, plus all the teachers that are chaperoning the trip, plus some parents. And here's the deal. We're not used to Italian hotels. We're used to American hotels. And there's one big difference. There's several, okay? One that's not so important for our talk is that the bathrooms are this big. Like the showers, there were showers in Italy that I had to come in, lay a lather in the front, and then come out, turn around, and back up into it because I couldn't turn inside of it. I mean, they were so tiny. But the main point is this that I wanted to get to. They don't have like the running hot water in large quantities. No, every room has a little hot water heater that only holds like 3 or 4 gallons of water or something. So it's enough for one person to take a hot shower. And then it's done. And then you have to wait. You're supposed to, we didn't know this, but you're supposed to go in there and start showering and turn it off while you're lathering and turn it back on and to save that hot water for the next person if there's more than one person. So I go in there and I take my hot shower. And I take the shower fast, but like 5 minutes later I come out and I'm good to go. And then Daisy goes into the shower and there's no hot water. It's like, what? But we hear a commotion in the hall. And so we walk towards the door and there's a parent, one of the parents of one of the girls that was on the trip. The mom was having a fit. She was walking up and down the hallway cursing. This is a Christian school on a Christian trip, Christian students with their Christian parents. And this lady is late speaking. I mean, the words coming out of her mouth at full volume down the hall was like, wow. And I'll never forget that. Because here's this super sweet Christian lady who's with us for everything. And then all of a sudden, something happens bad that she doesn't like. And what comes out of her mouth is like, who would have known that was there? And it was more than spilling a drink. It was more like a volcanic eruption, you know? Like, it just came out bad, okay? But that got me thinking, you know, all of us have to be careful what we fill ourselves with. Because it's going to come out. It comes out sooner or later. One way or another, it comes out. And so, we are all containers. So, there are good and bad ingredients in containers. When is the content of these cups or containers harmful for us? Think about that container, okay? It's a container and it contains Clorox, bleach. So if you're washing clothes, hey, that's good. It's helpful. But if you're thirsty, it's not a good idea. It's not meant for that. But you know what? You see the bottle and you know what to expect. Because it's labeled. Hey, what's inside is Clorox. Now, if somebody told you, hey, you know, I thoroughly, thoroughly rinsed this bottle and it no longer has Clorox inside. I put milk in it now. So if you want some milk, you can get it from this bottle. I don't know. I don't know that I would want that milk. It's like, no, you know, you got cereal and then you got Clorox. It's, I don't know, man. It's like, it might be milk and you may not be lying to me, but just that contrast between the bottle and what's inside makes it really uncomfortable. By the same token, you have this bottle, this gallon of milk, and what's in it? Milk. And what do you expect there to be in it? Milk, because it's labeled milk. But same analogy, what if I ran out of Clorox and the neighbor lent me some, so I thoroughly cleaned my milk gallon and I took it to her house and she put some Clorox in it so I can finish washing my clothes. Now, you know, you see me pouring that into the washer and you're like, what is up with him? He's putting milk in his washer. Like, is that a new thing to take out stains or something? You don't expect it. It shocks you. And it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous because if somebody comes across that and says, oh, here's some milk, and they jug it and it's Clorox, what am I getting at here? When we label ourselves as Christians, people expect there to be something inside of us. They expect to know what we are all about. But sometimes we are full of surprises. Sometimes we're not what we claim to be. Anybody can claim to be anything. But it's what comes out of us that demonstrates what's really inside of us. And that's where I want to go tonight with this word. The spill. Okay? Some spills are harmless. Okay? They're harmless. Anybody who has little kids know that they spill everything. Okay, you're eating and they'll spill their milk, they'll spill the juice, they'll spill the... And adults do too. I've spilt a ton of stuff in my life. Okay, but a lot of those spills are harmless. But then there's those spills that are not so harmless. The ones that cost you, the ones that are like, oh my gosh, look what happened. I just spilled my coffee on my laptop. Like, forget it, it's not going to work anymore. It's that spill that causes damage. And so, how many hurt people are out there because somebody had a moment where they just erupted and what came out wasn't what was expected? And what's the first reaction of people? Wow, what a hypocrite. This person, you know, they say they're a Christian. Look at what they're saying. Look at what they're doing. Look at the explosion. Man, I know people like that. I know people like that. You see them, they're smiling, everything's good. But you just say the wrong word. You dare say something to them that they don't like, and that smile disappears and they just explode. They just explode, and it's ugly. Ugly things come out of their mouth. And you know what? All it does is show you what's in their heart. Because you're not going to spill something you don't have inside. If it comes out, it's in there. And if it's not good, we need to do something about it. We need to figure out what to do. What does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible say about this whole topic, about spilling things? Luke 6:45 is where I want to start. We're going to look at several passages. But this passage to me is really important. And here's what it says. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. Like, that lays it down. That is Jesus talking. That is Jesus giving us, and that's the New Living Translation. That is Jesus telling us, hey, there's no secrets here. You either have a good treasury of a good heart, or you have evil things from a treasury of an evil heart. What is your heart filled with? Because that's what you're going to produce. That's what's going to come out. In other words, the principle here is that what you say flows from what's in your heart. And that's why words are those things you can't take back. Now, I want to caution you here. Sometimes we say stupid things we don't mean. We really do. All of us have done it. We'll say something to hurt somebody that we don't really mean. But you know what? We know it hurts them, so boom, there you go. And so it's very easy to say, well, if you said that, it's because you believed it. That's what's in your heart. So now I know what you think. It isn't 100%, because sometimes we make things up just to hurt people when we're evil, when our heart is full of darkness. Okay, but for the most part, what's in your heart is what comes out. Just under the right circumstances and with the right motivation, what's in your heart is what comes out. There's negative examples. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And there's positive example. A good person produces a good treasury from a good heart. In that verse, you have the principle and you have good examples and bad examples of it. So let's dive deeper into this, okay? What are the things that we fill ourselves with that are good and that produce good things? And what are the things we fill ourselves with that are not good, that produce bad things, bad results? What is our heart full of? That's the question. Okay, we're all full of it, but what is that it? Is it good or is it wicked? Is it bad and evil? What are we filled with? And I'm talking to Christians and I'm talking to myself. Because as we go, I will illustrate that some of these things I have lived and I experience in my life and I battle with. Because every day we go out there and we fill our hearts, every day. And some days we do a great job. And the other days we don't do so well. And that's where we need, this is the constant daily battle that we have. So what you say flows from what is in your heart. There's a connection between the contents and the actions. We cannot produce what we don't have inside. We cannot produce what we don't have inside. We cannot hide what we have inside either. You can hide it and hide it and hide it, but soon enough it comes out. And the people closest to you, they're the ones that know what's inside. Because the people you live with are the people that see you and interact with you in all of the different rough times and good times and everything in between in your life. Proverbs 15 says it this way: the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking, but the mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. Just overflows. Like you can't keep it in, like it spills. There's so much in it, it just comes out. And that proverb really, really confronts you. As does Psalm 119, may my lips overflow with praise. What comes out of our mouth? I'll tell you what, sometimes when I'm in traffic, what overflows is not praise and worship. Especially if I'm angry, if I'm building up some frustration, if I'm under stress or there's a lot of tension and I fill my heart with all these things, when something provokes that spill, what comes out isn't godly. It isn't good. I'm ashamed of it sometimes because I say, wow, like I can't believe I just said that. Can't believe that just came out of my mouth. It's like, God, forgive me. I mean, my heart is not full of that, but what provoked this? What? Why does this happen? Okay, so let's look at what it is that we fill our hearts with that provokes these issues. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Okay, we're talking about a type of person, and the type of person is determined by what they do, and what they do is a result of what they're full of. So that's where we need to start. Okay, some people are full of jealousy. So if you fill yourself with jealousy, what's going to come out? Jealousy, insult, insecurities, attacks, accusations. You know, a person that is constantly feeding jealousy into their heads, you know, they're going to say ugly things. They're going to think ugly thoughts. And they're going to act out on that ugly thought. A person's heart, I mean, you read it in the news all the time. All the time you see it in the news. Somebody fills their heart with jealousy. They suspect that something's going on between their wife or their husband and somebody else, and they go out and they kill them. Because that's just an overflow. Like, that's the extreme. But hey, it happens. It happens. Acts 5:17 says, the high priest and the officials who were Sadducees, they were filled with jealousy. What did that lead them to do when you look at the book of Acts? That led them to persecute the church. That led them to kill Stephen, to arrest a guy who has done nothing and stone him to death. Why? Because they were filled with jealousy. Because they didn't like that the other people, those Christians, were doing all these things and they had all this authority and the people were believing them and following them. And here we are, we're the teachers. We've been the teachers for generations and nobody's listening to us. That jealousy produces wickedness, evil acts. Acts 13, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Again, the jealousy, what does it provoke? Abusive talk, mistreating people. And so, should a Christian fill their hearts with jealousy? No. We're not called to fill our hearts with jealousy. We need to fight that, if that's what it is. But the list is long, so I don't want to dwell on any of these things. You can fill your heart with anger. And that's the easiest one to fill. All of us can fill our cup of anger like that. Some of us have a bigger cup. It takes a little longer to fill, but those are more dangerous because when they spill, there's a lot more that's going to come out. The ones that have a small cup, it's constantly spilling, so they keep it measured. The anger never reaches that level of dangerous. But when we fill our hearts with anger, what's going to come out? Nothing good. Nothing good. Explosions. Acts 19. At this, their anger boiled, and they began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Do you read the story behind this? You know, Paul is speaking against idolatry, and it's ruining their business because they sell little idols. And because they sell little idols and people are believing what Paul says, they're no longer buying the idols. So, hey, that money that I normally bring home to feed my wife and kids, it's not coming home now. Why? Because there's this guy telling everybody not to buy the idols. That would make you angry. That would make me angry. Just looking at it raw, I mean, what they were doing was not good. They were exploiting people. But if you look at the, you can understand where the anger is coming from. And that's the bad thing about anger. Anger is often well-founded. We often get angry for good reasons. We get angry when people abuse of us. We get angry when we feel somebody's using us and manipulating us. We get angry when we feel that somebody's taking advantage of us. We get angry when we feel that people don't respect us. When we feel that people, and all of those are legitimate reasons to be angry or to be upset. But you can't store it. You can't let it accumulate. You can't build it up. Because that's when you do stupid things. That's when in a moment of anger, people have killed other people and later regretted it their whole life. In a moment of anger, people have hurt other people that they love, that they don't want to hurt. But in a moment of anger, just that explosion. And we all know people with a short fuse. My dad, when we were growing up, my dad loved my mom to pieces. But when he would get angry, he would beat her. He would hit her. He would just lose it. And then he would be apologizing and feeling bad about it. But the harm is done because that anger builds up. And when it comes out, it's bad. It's bad. It's reflected in our vocabulary. And I'll tell you, it's hard for me. It's really hard for me not to build up anger when I'm driving. I don't know why. It's just that's my hot button. I'm driving and people are cutting me off and people are driving 3 miles an hour and somebody will come to a corner and there's nobody coming. They're going to turn. They do a full stop. There's no stop sign. And they think about, should I turn? I think I will turn. And they turn it starts building and it starts building and it starts building. And you know what? And then somebody will beep at you and the light has just changed. The minute it changes, somebody's beeping at you. And it's not a beep, beep, it's a beep. That's the bump that always spills the drink for me. Okay? The beep, the heavy beep, that makes me want to get out of the car and kill somebody. Like I've chased people down because they beeped at me. And I shouldn't. I'm a pastor. I mean, what am I talking about? But hey, that's telling me something about my mom. You know, it's like you beeped at me and I feel like you've just, God, you crossed the line. But you know what? You cannot. You cannot allow yourself to build that anger to that level that it spills. Because then words will come out of your mouth that shouldn't come out of the mouth of a Christian. Behavior will come out of you that it shouldn't come out of you. Because it's not the testimony that we're supposed to keep with everybody. I'm being real with you because this is what we struggle with. We all struggle with this. We got to be careful with what we fill ourselves. We cannot allow anger to accumulate. We have to find an outlet. We have to find a way of releasing. We need to find something to distract us so that what's happening in traffic doesn't bother us as much. You know that when I'm listening to good Christian music or I'm listening to a CD with a message in the car or something, I notice a difference. Because now the traffic is not important to me. Yeah, I'm stopping, I'm going, but my mind is focused on what I'm hearing or singing, and so I don't get angry. Or my wife has good strategies because she picks up when I'm starting to build this anger, and she'll just start a conversation and start asking me questions and throwing things at me or playing a game with me on the phone or something, and my mind gets distracted, and I calm down. And you gotta deal with this. We all have to deal with this. We can't let it get to the point. What is all this road rage about? Exactly that. It happens. People shoot strangers because of something that happened in traffic. Because the anger builds, and when you hit that bump, it just spills. It comes out. Sometimes we fill our hearts with bitterness. Nothing good comes from that. Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. This is the psalmist in a very frank psalm where he's bitter because he sees how easy the wicked have it and how much he has to struggle. That's a powerful psalm right there. And he says, you know what? I was bitter. What is bitterness? Bitterness is when you start resenting people, when you start storing and accumulating, you know, just baggage about, you know, bads that you perceive have been done to you, or you don't forgive somebody for something they did, and you just save it, and you save it, and you save it, and you build it. That bitterness, what's going to come out of that? Nothing good. What will that produce? Nothing good. A bitter person is never happy. Never happy. And when you'd come across a bitter person, you can tell right away, because all they talk about is bad stuff, bitterness, resentment, how unhappy they are. It just spills. Because the cup is full and it just spills and spills. It overflows. It overflows. It overflows. And they're the most unhappy people you can imagine. And that's the product of being filled with this. You know, some people fill themselves with greed. What comes from that? Nothing good. Then Peter said to Ananias, Ananias, what have you done? You've let Satan fill your heart. You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money to yourself. That cost Ananias his life and his wife. They both died because of greed. You let greed fill your heart. What's going to come from that? You're going to steal. You're going to cheat. You're going to lie. You're going to do whatever it takes to fulfill that greed. You're going to covet your neighbor's goods. You're going to want what they have. You're going to feel bad that they have it. It's going to build resentment. Your greed comes accompanied with resentment. Why does he have it and I don't? He's not better than me. She's not better than me. And we start, nothing good comes from greed. And greed at the end of the day is just not being satisfied with what God has given us. A person who has greed or envy is somebody who's not satisfied with what God has given them in life. It's an ungrateful person. Because we feel that God should give me what he gave that person and that person. No, God gives each of us what he chooses to give each of us. And we need to be content with that. We need to be okay with that. It's okay to be ambitious, but not greedy. You can desire to do well. You can desire to prosper. That is not a bad thing. But greed is not that. Greed is the single-minded focus on getting more and more and more and accumulating more and having more than everybody else. You fill yourself with that and nothing good's going to come of it. If the treasury of your heart is filled with these things, what is it going to produce? The fruits of the flesh. That's what it's going to produce. That's exactly what it's going to produce. Look what Galatians says. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, when you fill your heart with all these evil desires and emotions and anger and all these things, what comes from that? The results are very clear. You're going to act out, and your act out is going to be wicked. It's not going to be pleasing to God. Sexual morality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. That's what comes out. When your heart is filled with a treasury of evil things, what comes out is wicked. It's evil. It doesn't please God. And the word of God is very clear. If that's what comes out of our lives, if that's what's spilling over, then we are not living in the spirit. We're living in the flesh. And we're not pleasing God. We're not pleasing God. You cannot please God living that way. And I told you, this is a battle that's daily for us. Every day we have to guard what we fill our hearts with. Every day we fill our hearts with images that provoke, you know, all kinds of lustful behavior. Then what's going to come out? That's what's going to come out. We fill our hearts with anger, and what's going to come out? Anger, explosions. You fill your heart with jealousy, what's going to come out? Bad. Whatever you fill your heart with, that's what's going to come out. Now, the verse also gives us a positive example, the good treasury of a good heart. So what should we be filling our hearts with? What should we be filling our hearts with? Again, this describes a type of person, a good person, who produces good things. That's why they're judged and determined to be a good person. And why do they produce these good things? It's a result of what they're full of. It's a direct result of what they're full of. So what should we be full of? How about full of knowledge of God's will? That's what the Word of God says. Look what Paul says to the Colossians. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We want you to be filled, he says, with the knowledge of what God wants for your life. The more you know what God wants for your life, the easier it is for you to go and do what God wants for your life. And you'll see people sitting there, well, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, I hope you're speaking in very specific terms, because in general terms, we all know. What's the will of God for our lives? That we be Christ-like? That we love him and that we love our neighbor as ourselves? That's God's will for all of us. Now, does God want something specifically with you? He might. And there might be a calling and there might be a ministry, and we can find that out. But hey, we need to be full of knowledge of what God wants from us. How do you get that? Where do you get that from? You get that through prayer, but more than anything, you get that through God's word. You read his word. It's there. It's black and white. He's telling you exactly what he wants from you, and he's telling you very clearly. We need to fill ourselves with God's presence. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul, praying for the Ephesians, says, you guys need to know what it's like to get into God's presence. How do you get into God's presence? Prayer. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting and getting into God's word. Listen, you need to, as Christians, we need to know how to be filled with God's presence. And when you're full of God's presence, trust me, none of those evil things are going to come out of you. None of it. What's going to come out from you is good things, because you're filled with God's presence. Now, do you get filled with God's presence once and that's it for life? No. This is a daily battle, because we have leaks. We're a container with leaks. Like, we get filled up and then it seeps out. It leaks out. And we got to refill again. And it leaks out. This world that we live in, the life we live in, the struggles we have, they empty us. They empty us. You know, you'll get to bed some nights and you'll feel, I don't know if it happens to you, but it happens to me, where you feel just empty. You feel like you have nothing left. Like the day has just drained you of everything. And that's what life does to us. So we need to be constantly filling up again. But what are we filling up again? Let's fill up with God's presence. If we're not spending time with God in the morning before we leave the house, maybe we should try to. Maybe that'll set a tone for the rest of the day. Maybe that'll help us start filling our cups with what we need to have a good day, a day where good will come out of a good heart because it's full of God. We need to fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. Think about the impact it has in our lives when we fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. Peter was full of the Holy Spirit, and he said to them, he went out and he preached. This is the Peter who was a fisherman, and this is the Peter who pulled a machete and tried to cut somebody's head off. But now that he's full of the Spirit of God, what does he do? He goes and preaches. He's arrested and he's peaceful about it. He's released from jail and he's threatened along with John, hey, don't preach anymore. And they go out and they start preaching again. Why? Because they can't stop doing what God has called them to do. Why? Because they're full of God, full of his presence, full of his Spirit, full of his word, and ready to go do his will. You look at Stephen, he was full of the Spirit. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. When did Stephen see all of this? When is that? What's the context of that verse? They were stoning him. I don't know about you, but if I get hit by somebody with a rock, I don't see Jesus. I don't see the heavens open. I see blood. I look for a stick, a bigger rock, or something. I mean, okay? But when you're full of the Spirit, this guy is being stoned. There's a crowd of people, and they're all throwing rocks at him. They're hitting him from all angles, and they're killing him this way. He doesn't even feel it. And was he this Superman? He wasn't Superman. He was like you and me. But he was full of God's Spirit and full of God's presence. So he could sit there and just take it. It was coming at him, and he was looking up at heaven, and he was asking God to forgive them. And he was just, he had a vision. He saw Jesus. At that point, doesn't matter what's happening to me. Look at what I'm seeing. Like, how important is it for us to be filled with the Spirit of God? It makes dealing with all of life adversities a lot easier. It's never easy to deal with life adversity, but when you're full of the Spirit of God, there's something that becomes even more important than what you're going through. And it lifts you up and it encourages you. What about Paul? It says, Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Spirit, and he looked the sorcerer in the eye. Again, Acts 13. Another great story where Paul is, look, this lady is just, she's full of demons, and he sees it. And he's able to deal with it. Why? Because he was full of the Spirit. When you're full of the Spirit, you see what's happening. You can see things. You can understand things. You know that somebody may be saying something, but you can see what's behind it. You have this clarity. You have this discernment. The Holy Spirit allows you to understand things, big picture, that you may miss if you're not in the Spirit. And you may think that you're battling this person, and you're not understanding it's not the person, it's what's behind this person that you're battling. Being full with the Spirit makes all the difference in the world. If the treasury of your heart is filled with the Holy Spirit, what is that going to produce in you? Instead of the fruits of the flesh, it's going to produce the fruits of the Spirit. That's the difference. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How awesome would it be if every time you hit a bump in life, that's what would spill out of you? Think about it. How awesome would it be? And you know what? Sometimes it does. And we sit there and we marvel. And we say, wow, I handled that so well. I didn't think I could handle that well. Thank you, God. Thank you. Because, man, in another situation, I would not have taken that well. That's happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to you. It's like, wow, thank you, God. I was able to deal with that. And you start thinking about when you were not a Christian, or you start thinking about other days in your life, and you say, man, I would have dealt with that totally differently. But thank God I was able to. I remember as a young man, I was probably in my early teens, or maybe 11 or 12 or 13, and my mom was a Christian. My mom became a Christian when I was 5. And I remember there was some problem with a neighbor where we lived. The neighbor across the street was really angry, and she came out and she threatened my mom that she was going to beat my mom up and that she was going to hit her with a stick and all of this. I think my older brother was going out with her daughter and whatever. And so this lady was really angry at my mom. And my mom, I was there and I was like, oh man, this is ugly. Kids get really nervous in those situations. And my mom I was so blown away by her response. She was so calm. She was so peaceful. She was just so patient. She told me, look, put that down. That's not going to fix anything. You know, the lady's yelling and my mom is just calm. And I saw that day, I remember that. That's one of those images that is impressed in my mind. And then I remember talking to my mom about it. And my mom said, look, before I was a Christian, I would have gotten a stick and then we would have had a fight. And I would not have let her speak to me that way. But you know what? I didn't feel that urge to do that. I was able to, she was at that moment, strong, full of God's Spirit, full of God's presence, she was able to handle it. Now, are we always that way? We should be, but we're not. But it's amazing the difference it makes when that happens. That's the fruit that comes out of you. You want to be known. You want people to know, okay, this is a gallon of milk that really is full of milk. You want people to know, okay, this is a Christian who really is full of the Spirit of God, whose fruits of joy and peace and patience, all this is what's coming out. Romans says it this way, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. What are we filled with when we have the Holy Spirit? God's love. God's love. It just fills our heart. We're able to have people, patience with people, and look at people with God's eyes. So let's conclude with some thoughts. How about some cups that make you go, okay? There's some of those in the Bible too that you say, wow, like that's, the label outside may say godly, but what's inside is not. And Jesus leaves us a great picture of this, okay? In Matthew 23, when he's dealing with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were that cup that's labeled one way and filled another. And he minced no words in explaining this. Look what he says to him. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. That's what we're talking about. On the outside, everything looks good. What's inside? Filth and greed and self-indulgence. He goes on to say, you blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. What's God worried about? The inside, what we're full of. He goes on and he says, what sorrows await you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. There's one person that knows what we're filled with. God. We can't hide it from him. We can't, and he knows our hearts. That's why we judge by what we see. God judges by what he knows. And God is concerned with what's inside of our hearts. What are we full of? Some concluding thoughts. We all need to be filled before we are spilled. Before you hit that next bump in the road, how about we fill ourselves with good stuff? So when we hit that bump, what comes out is good. Let's be intentional about this. Psalm 23 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil until my cup overflows. Symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The psalmist is saying, look, when I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, what do you fill me with, your Holy Spirit? Until my cup is like overflowing. Guess what? I can deal with my enemies. I'm surrounded by enemies. They all want to hurt me and kill me, but you know what? I'm good. I'm well because I'm full with your Spirit. We should pray and seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to impact the world around us positively so that when people encounter us, they don't walk away saying, wow, I thought they were a Christian. Or look, man, they say they're a Christian. Look what they're doing. You want people to walk away and say, man, wow, that person really is genuine. I'm impressed. Like, wow, this person handled that really well. Paul's prayer in Romans 15 says, I will pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you read carefully through scriptures, you're going to find that theme over and over and over again. What you're filled with is what overflows. What you're filled with is what spills. What you're filled with is what comes out. Whether it's good or bad, it's all across. What we need to do is be careful. Be careful what we fill our hearts with. Let's stand up tonight.